Hello, friends and neighbors. This is David Smith of Illinois Family Action with yet another special edition of our Spotlight podcast. Recently, I gave a short presentation at my church, and since we recorded the audio, I thought we could post it as a special edition for those who may be interested. This exhortation comes after a troubling week of anger, bitterness, and violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, in which a biblical perspective is desperately needed. So, without further delay, here is the special edition of Illinois Spotlight. Good morning, everyone. I have a strong exhortation for you this morning. So let's just pray real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, just pray that your spirit would move and, Lord, that your truth would be proclaimed and that, Lord, that we would conform to your image. That's what our goal is. That's what you call us to. So, Father, Lord, help us to be conformed to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so because racial tensions continue to run high in our nation, I think it's imperative that we take a few moments to address it. Despite all the negativity dominating the headlines, the internet, and the airwaves, we must be mindful of the biblical truths and principles that override sinful prejudices, biases, and emotions. It's really sad to see how many people are willing to violently attack each other and destroy property, let alone stand for an ideology that is unquestionably wicked. The violence and the verbal bomb throwing is upsetting and destructive. And in the days following the Charlottesville clash, rational discussions were in short supply. I usually listen to some political news talk every day, but this past week, simply it was too much for me. I had to turn it all off. It was too depressing to hear the fear-mongering, the partisan bickering, and the blame game. We are seeing in this generation the culmination of decades of indoctrination, the vilification of American culture, and the embrace of what some falsely consider rights. We are at a very dangerous point in our society right now. We have fringe elements dictating policy through mob action instead of through the democratic process. They are also influencing policy in corporate America. Godless voices are amplified and their anti-Christian narrative advances. Religious liberty and Christian values are under attack. The goal of leftists is to marginalize and discredit Judeo-Christian values and influences. Serious Christians must rise above the chaos, anger, and anxiety. We must refuse to respond in kind. Satan wants to frustrate us and distract us. He wants us to take our eyes off the ultimate prize. Through this bedlam, we have an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus to our world and bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. Our public testimony, action, or when appropriate, inaction, during these troubled times, can be a powerful witness to an unbelieving world. As our culture becomes increasingly hostile to the things of God, we are seeing a tremendous increase in oppressive court rulings and legislation that is eroding our religious liberties. The embrace and promulgation of wickedness in government schools, academia, the media, our pop culture, are influencing our state and nation in troubling ways. In response to grievous sin, the church is too often sinfully silent or worse. I believe this silence is being driven by a fear of man, specifically an unwillingness to be persecuted and even hated for our faith. In short, it's difficult not to see that the church has been contaminated by the lies of the world. With the rise of homofascism, Islamofascism, and oppressive anarchism, we can ill afford to be in separate foxholes as Christian oppression turns into Christian persecution. To be effective for the King and his kingdom, we must not just talk about Christian unity, but also work intentionally to be unified with each other here locally, in the region, and beyond. We must be one as he and the Father are one. And we know that Scripture is absolutely clear. Our Lord and Savior desires unity among his followers. This is what Jesus was praying, and it can be found in John chapter 17. Praying to the Father, he said, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." So, if God desires unity, and it's clear here, wouldn't you agree? Why are we surprised to see Satan working overtime to divide? We must not only be watchful for Satan's prowling ploys, but we must be intentional about hiding within our hearts biblical truths and principles which enable us to dispel the lies of our culture, lies that Satan wants us to buy. Satan wants us to believe that one race, one skin color, is superior to every other. Scripture warns us in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, not to think more highly of ourselves, but instead think soberly about how God deals with each one of us. The verse is up on the screen. Here in this verse, we are told what not to think, but also how to think and what to think about. We are to think about the truths of God, meditating on them and believing them. God clearly tells us that we are made in his image and that his human creation is fearfully and wonderfully made. And like David, we should praise him for this reality. The Apostle Paul gives us even more details about God's crown jewel of creation. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, he said, "And he has made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings." In Romans, Paul teaches that there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon his name. This truth is reiterated in other verses. For example, Proverbs 22:2, "The rich and poor have this in common, the Lord is maker of them all." Or how about Proverbs 29, verse 13, "The poor man and the oppressor have this in common, the Lord gives light to both of their eyes." Do we understand what the Bible teaches us about who we are? We are all made in his image. If God's word tells us that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made and created from one blood, we have absolutely no right to assert any other claim. God alone is the author of life. He determines how we are to be like him and how special we are in his grand scheme. We have zero authority to claim special status, privilege, or standing in his created order. Now, can we celebrate our ethnicity or ancestry? Absolutely. But it is wrong, pridefully wrong, to think we are better than others simply because of where we come from, where we were born, the pigment of our skin, or any other physical attribute. And we have no biblical warrant to separate from others based on those conditions. In fact, Scripture is clear about our human condition. Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" This problem is universally true. It's not unique to any particular people group. It affects us all. A wicked heart, an unregenerate heart, deceives people into believing that the vile propaganda that comes out of these groups is true. The flawed thinking that one group of humans is intrinsically better or more valuable than others leads to direct or indirect prejudices, discrimination, hostility, and even violence directed against fellow human beings, as we've seen recently. These conscience or even subconscious thoughts, beliefs, and feelings must be eradicated. They're strongholds that must be pulled down and destroyed. There's a reason, a good reason, why Scripture instructs us to do all things without complaining. There are good reasons why Scripture warns us not to become bitter or resentful. There are good reasons why Scripture instructs us to do all things in love. There are good reasons why Scripture instructs us to do all things for the glory of God. There are good reasons why Scripture instructs us to set our minds on the things above, not on earthly things. There are good reasons why Scripture instructs us to be content in all things. There are good reasons why Scripture instructs us to stand firm in the work of the Lord. And finally, there are good reasons why Scripture instructs us to seek first the kingdom of God. God shows no partiality with man, nor should we. In fact, James warns us, if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. That's James 2:9. No, the second great commandment instructs us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And on the flip side, Scripture tells us that he who despises his neighbor sins. Do we understand that? And in the first epistle of John, we are cautioned, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We have many thousands of people who are walking in blindness today. In response to this, we have to make sure that we are immersed in the Word of God and that our hearts align with His perfection. We must think biblically about our condition and see ourselves accurately and others as God sees us. We must understand, too, that a critical spirit and a complaining heart or tongue is the sin of discontent. So, we must pursue true biblical love, which is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but I think these three verses speak volumes to today's topic. Let me just read it. Verses 4 through 6. It says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth." I encourage you to read the entire chapter when you are able, chapter 13, and I encourage you to do it frequently. We must teach our children and grandchildren the truth of who we are in God's created order, and that our neighbors are made in the image of God and are of infinite value and worth. To this point, I had the privilege of hearing Reverend C.L. Bryant last night in Villa Park at a conference of conservatives. His message was powerful and inspiring. He's a man who lived through the civil rights struggle as a young kid of the 60s, and he is descended from slaves. Near the end of his keynote address, he told a story from his childhood as an older teenager in the 70s. C.L. said he was a bit Afrocentric in those days and had a very big Afro. He was driving to his grandfather's place to help him put in posts and fencing around a farm field. Turns out that CL's grandfather worked hard to build a small but successful wood pulp mill. As CL drove up in the driveway, he was loudly playing the James Brown hit, "I'm Black and I'm Proud," on his 8-track player. So, it was the 70s, I told you. So as CL drove up in the driveway, he was playing this song, and his father came up to him, and he could tell, "Oh, grandfather's not too happy with me." And the grandfather put his big, calloused finger in his face and scolded him, saying, "I didn't go through all that I went through so that you can be black. I did it so you could be free." Profound. Profound. CL said it changed his life. And if we stop and think about it, that is exactly what Jesus says to all of us in his word. "I didn't go through the pain of the cross and the separation from the Father so you can be petty, proud, and petulant. I did it so you can be free of these things." Isn't that what John tells us in the gospel? "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. In response to the cultural chaos, we must pray for the waning influence of the body of Christ in America. A major reason we are at this point in our culture is because we have forgotten God. Let that not be said of us. We must devote ourselves to the Word of God and to prayer. Again, we must intentionally teach our children these biblical truths. And as often as we must, each one of us need to repent from sinful attitudes and prideful thoughts. I also want to encourage you to pray regularly that God would raise up bold Christian leaders like CL. Pray for the unity in the body of Christ in the Chicago region and throughout the state and nation. Pray for the opportunities to share biblical truths with friends, family members, and coworkers. And I want to ask you to do something too. Pray for your local police officers, those who risk their lives to keep the peace and protect our communities. They regularly see the underbelly of society and deal with dangerous and desperate characters. These are the ones patrolling our neighborhoods at 3 a.m. while we're sleeping safe in our beds. Finally, pray for racial harmony, especially in the body of Christ, and pray for national repentance and revival. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you. There's so much to lift up to you here today. I pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts, move your spirit, stir us up, have us understand what true biblical love is and how to walk in it and not ignore it and to be persuaded by Satan's lies and attitudes that are just not from you but are fruits of hell. Father, Lord, protect us. Help us to teach our children. Help us to be countercultural in a world that seeks its own and not seeks you. Father God, use us for your glory. Help us to shine the light of Jesus. Lord, we can't do it ourselves. You have to fill us. You have to strengthen us, because on our own, we're going to faint. Father God, we lift these things up to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.